without trying to imagine its beauty, its magnificence. I heard about a mother and a child were walking outside, a beautiful evening. The stars were glistening like diamonds in the dark. And the girl was just taken in by the beauty of the evening. And she said to her mother, asking her a question, she said, "Mommy, if the wrong side of heaven is so beautiful, what must the right side look like?" Well, the fact is, there are many beautiful things this side of eternity. And yet, the right side of heaven, when we are in the heaven of heavens, where Christ is, will truly be the most beautiful place that we have ever experienced. Now, the Apostle John was overwhelmed. He was taken down by the beauty of heaven, the joy of the city. And he gives us a kind of flyover, if you will, in the last two chapters of the Bible, Revelation 21, 22. It's really a tour of the New Jerusalem. And so in Revelation 21, verses 1 through 5, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth has passed away, and the sea was no more." I explained that in a previous message. No more sea. Say, "Well, I like the ocean." No, this is talking about separation. John was in exile, separated, looking over the Aegean Sea, separated from his friends, living with crazies on a penitentiary island. He was alone. And when he saw heaven, he saw no more separation. We are with one another and our loved ones in Christ forever and ever. No more sea, no more separation. "And I saw the holy city," this is the heavenly city, "New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them and they will be his people.'" And God himself, take a breath there. God himself will be with them as their God. "He will wipe away every tear from their eyes," every one of them, personally. He will wipe away your tears. "And death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore. For the former things have passed away. And he who was seated on the throne," that's the Lord Jesus, "Behold, I'm making all things new." And he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." Yes, they are. The beauty of heaven. He is making all things new, which means that the heavens and the earth will be renovated for the redeemed. And this city, this heavenly and holy city described here, will be coming down, and this is in the future, the millennial kingdom of God. Remember, the Bible tells us to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. As a believer, when you die, you instantaneously, immortally are in the presence of the Lord. Jesus said to the thief on the cross, "Today you will be with me in paradise." That thief repented of his sin and believed in Jesus, and Jesus took him to heaven, to paradise with him. Paradise, another picture of beauty and the exquisiteness of eternity with Christ. And yet there's coming a day when God will renovate the earth and the heavens and the earth will become as one. And that's what is known with theologians as the eternal state, your condition eternally with God. That's what he's talking about here, coming down out of heaven. And he says it's like a beautiful bride. That's verse 2, also in verse 10. Now, one of the best sights in my lifetime was to see my young bride, Deb, coming down the aisle at the First Baptist Church of Mineral Wells, Texas, May 22nd, 1970. That's 47 years ago. It keeps getting better and better, and she's more beautiful and beautiful to me. But I tell you, that was quite a sight when my bride came down that aisle. And you know, every groom can say that and should say that. I've never seen an ugly bride. I just haven't. I've performed many wedding ceremonies. And, you know, the guys just sort of clean up and look okay. the best they can. But every bride is so beautiful, just lovely. The hair is adorned and the dress and all the rest, just magnificent. And Jesus, and John said, when he saw the holy city, the heavenly city coming down, this city was like an adorned bride for the people of God. Of course, we are the bride of Christ. And we are citizens of this city and members of this family and participants in this beauty. We're there. We're right there. And it's real. And just as a bride comes down without blot, without blemish, beautiful, breathtakingly beautiful, when the heavenly city descends, the new Jerusalem, the new heavens, the new earth, it's going to be a beautiful and wondrous sight to behold. Like a diamond in the sky, dazzling, like diamonds and emeralds and rubies, scintillating and glorious. The capital city of heaven is the New Jerusalem. And Jerusalem, of course, is an important, very important city in all of the history of our faith, the history of the Bible, and the history of the world. So Jerusalem is important in history, it's important in prophecy. Because at the very center of the prophetic word of God is the nation of Israel and its capital, Jerusalem, and the destiny of nations. Even today, though it has been decimated many times through the years, and there are ruins still everywhere to see, 17 times the city of Jerusalem has been defeated and destroyed, left to rubble, and 18 times the city, the people have gotten up again, because God's hand is upon Israel and the people and this nation. The Bible today, the Bible proclaims that Israel will be and is the geopolitical center of the earth. Ezekiel 5:5 says, I have set you, Jerusalem, in the midst of the nations. In other words, Jerusalem is the touch point. It's the reference point for the entire earth. We're also told in the prophetic word that Jerusalem will be a stumbling block to the nations. And we know that's true. So much crisis and so much division as a result of Jerusalem and people's fight to maintain Jerusalem and power and control in Jerusalem. That's all in the plan of God. And ultimately, Jesus, our Lord and Savior, will, just as he ascended from the Mount of Olives in Jerusalem, will descend. This same Jesus, taken up from you into heaven, will come again in the same way that you've seen him go. And he will return to Jerusalem and establish his eternal millennial kingdom. That's what this is talking about. Revelation 21:10 speaks of the great city of our God. And what a city it is. It's a community of God's people. A city should primarily be known for its people. I mean, there are beautiful cities and city sites and scenes and buildings and skyscrapers and even small towns with their lovely streets and all the rest. But ultimately, a city is known for its people. A town, a city is known for what it is like. You like a city, you don't like a city, typically based on who lives there. Well, this beautiful, holy city will be perfect and pure and pristine, because in that day, according to verse 8, God is going to drain the swamp. But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for murderers and the sexually immoral and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. And if you believe in heaven, you must believe in hell. Because the same Bible that tells us there's a beautiful heaven tells us that there is a terrible hell, that there is a heaven to gain and that there is a hell to shun. Yes, there is a hell, because in heaven there is no rebellion, there is no sin. We live in a sin-sick world. an ugly and broken world. I've already said there are many beautiful things on earth that we enjoy. I love living here. I do. I'm grateful for the beauty. We see the good in people. We see good neighbors being good neighbors to others all around, whether it is a crisis, a natural disaster. We see people rallying. We see a lot of goodness, don't we? And we can celebrate that. But we also know that there's a tremendous amount of ugliness and brokenness in our world. There's so much of it. Our world is filled not with beauty, but with brokenness. And that's because of the thing called the curse of sin. Because of sin, sin has shattered the human condition. And our world is in trouble because of sin. And there's so much of this darkness in the world. In 1971, John Lennon wrote a song well known about the future. And he spoke of a utopian world in this song. He pled for a place that would be beautiful and lovely. He called it Imagine. And in it, he crooned a world without religion. No God, no heaven, no hell, but just a perfect world in perfect peace, void of religious strife and human division and all the rest. Imagine there's no heaven. Imagine there's no hell. He wanted something more, something better. And yet on December the 8th, 1980, John Lennon was gunned down in New York near his apartment in Manhattan by an assassin. And he was a direct hit to the ugliness and the darkness of a world that has gone astray. Now, there's no world without God. There's no future without him. Everything in this present condition of life is marred and scarred and charred by sin. The world is broken. Filled with broken dreams, broken hearts, broken promises, broken marriages, broken families, broken communities, broken bodies, broken hopes. And the rubble, we see it everywhere. The ruins are everywhere. No wonder Jesus said, don't lay up your treasures here, because you can't take that with you, but you can send it ahead. Lay up treasures in heaven. Invest in heavenly things. If your heart is there, how can we stay here with our hearts and our affections and our ambitions? There is something better, something greater. Don't leave your treasures here, but invest in the things that matter the most. What would you take with you? Now, verse 12 begins a description, and this truly is going to be a quick flyover, but it begins a description of this heavenly city. Verse 11, we need to note that. It says, having the glory of God, we're going to talk about the glory of heaven next week. Its radiance, like a most rare jewel, like jasper, clear as crystal. So imagine in your mind this crystal city, this celestial city, and it had a great high wall. Yes, there's going to be a wall in heaven. It's going to get built, and Donald Trump is not going to build it. It's a high wall, 12 gates. And the wall of the city, verse 14, had 12 foundations. And verse 15, and the one who spoke with me had a measuring rod of gold in measuring the city and its gates and its walls. And so verse 16 is worth noting. The city lies four square. In other words, it's a cube. It's a crystal cube. This imagery is fascinating, isn't it? Its length is the same as its width. And he measured the city by his rod, 12,000 stadia. Its length and its width and its heights are equal. And he measured its wall, 144 cubits, by human measurement, which is also an angel's measurement. Angels have their own measurements, I guess, but they're similar to human measurements. But here is this city, and the size of it is astronomically large. Now, I'm not good at mathematics. I'm really not. How I got out of 10th grade geometry, I have no clue. Good friends, I guess. But here's the geometry of this thing. 1,500 miles, that's the distance described here, in every direction, and the measurement is of a cube. Now, according to the scholars, therefore, when you add it up, the cube, the square miles of the cube is 2,250,000 square miles. 2,250,000 square miles on the ground. That's just on the ground. That doesn't consider the width and the height. And it's estimated that approximately 30 billion people have lived on Earth since its creation. 30 billion. Give or take a billion or two. So that would mean that there is plenty of room in heaven if all 30 billion went to heaven, and we know not everyone goes to heaven, there would be over 200 miles per person of living space. And that's just in the heavenly city. Remember, this is just the capital city. We'll have all of the universe, the heavens to explore. And this is the capital city, but there is plenty of room. The point is, there's plenty of room for the family of God to include everyone who follows Jesus. That means there's a place and a space for you, reserved in heaven for you who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's magnificent to me. The wall was built of jasper and the city was pure gold like glass. I brought you some photos of just some of the gems that are described here. And that's a sapphire. I don't even know how to pronounce some of these. Emeralds, oh, that's a good one. And onyx. Look at some of these, all described here. These beautiful jewels, the bejeweled city of God. We sing, I've heard about a city with many colors, and the God who painted the wings of a butterfly, who blended the colors of the rainbow, who is the light of the city and reflecting his radiance, these gorgeous gems, is describing just how beautiful this place is going to be, where we're going to spend eternity. Even the streets, we're told, are made of gold. Verse 21, and the 12 gates were 12 pearls, each of the gates made of a single pearl. This is the reference to the pearly gates. They're really not pearly, plural, they're pearl gates, one pearl. And you know how a pearl is made, right? An oyster is irritated, the creature inside the shell is irritated by some sand or debris, and as a result, the creature secretes a fluid which surrounds the irritation, the pain, and the hurt, and it becomes a pearl. So a pearl is birthed in pain. These gates of pearl. And to me, that always signifies the fact that the entrance to heaven, the beautiful pearl gates of heaven, remind us forever of the price that was paid at the cross. The pain of the cross, the suffering of the cross, and the same nail-scarred hands that open the gates of grace will open to us the gates of glory. Indescribably wonderful. Streets of gold. Word here is translucent gold, see-through gold. On earth, we treasure gold. We strive for gold. Everything, we want gold, with riches and money. And in heaven, they make streets out of the stuff. Yes, heaven is going to be an enriching and elevating place. So many things beautiful about heaven. And of course, he is the God of wonders who is making it. He is the Lamb who is the light of the city, no more night. And John, when it comes to describing the heavenly city, what he is seeing there, it's interesting that he tells us some things that are not there. And in some ways, it's easier to describe heaven by what is not there than what is there. And he says, what is not there, verse 4, no more tears, no more terrors of death, no more crying, pain, suffering. Why? No more sin. Had there been no sin, there would have been no suffering. Had there been no suffering, there would have been no death. And this is the place where death has died. The risen Lamb of God reigns, radiates from the throne of God, and it is his beauty that attracts us. It is his glory that draws us in. And yes, we will see his beautiful face. And when you get down to it, it won't be streets of gold or gates of pearl or translucent crystal cities that will be the main attraction for us in heaven. But it will be the beautiful face of Jesus. Some of the great preachers of yesteryear brought sermons regarding the beauty of God. We need more sermons like that. The beauty of God. The beauty of Jesus. And one glimpse of his dear face, all sorrows will erase when we see Christ. Done a lot of funeral services in my time, seen a lot of tears, a lot of broken hearts. People bury their loved ones and half their hearts with them. But in heaven, there'll be no funeral processions down streets of gold. There will be no more sad goodbyes, no more tears staining our cheeks, because we will live in the perfect bliss and beauty and blessedness of Jesus. We will see his face. I wish I could describe it for you better. Robert G. Lee, the preacher of Bellevue Baptist Church in Memphis, Tennessee, was one of the greatest preachers of a generation. He was a magnificent orator type. And boy, he could paint a picture. I got to hear him preach when he was 92 years of age. And even then, I mean, he would get up and say things like, "And the moon was blossoming like a yellow jonquil in the garden of the stars." Now, if I said something like that today, you would laugh me off the platform. But you know, that was that era and that generation, and he was so descriptive, and his vocabulary was truly extensive, and it came time to die, and Adrian Rogers, his pastor, who succeeded him at Bellevue, many of you know Dr. Adrian Rogers, also now in heaven, went to see him. I believe the story is he took Billy Graham with him, and they went to see Dr. Lee on his deathbed. And Lee drew them up close and said, "Let me tell you something. I never did it justice. Now, if anybody did the descriptions of heaven justice, it would have been Lee. But he said, "It's more beautiful than you can imagine." A few days later, his faith turned to sight, and he saw it all. And so will you if you believe and trust in Jesus. Do you know for sure, for certain, that if you were to die today, that you were to go to heaven? If Christ were to come this hour, would you be with him forever? You can know. You must know. These things are written that you might know that you have eternal life. And to know Jesus is to know eternal life, because heaven is Jesus. It's being with him. So the way to be with him is to receive him into your life right now. And I'm going to give you an opportunity wherever you are. You may be watching online. You may be listening on radio, watching on a podcast. Just invite Christ into your life, because the Bible says, "Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved." If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And if you right now will turn from your sin, that's repentance, and trust in Christ, that's faith, and receive the gift of eternal life, he will save you now and forever. That's God's promise, not mine. So would you just pray with childlike faith this simple prayer. Lord Jesus, I invite you to come into my life. I trust you as my Lord and Savior. I repent of my sins. I receive you, Lord. I call on your name. Just say, Jesus, Jesus, come into my life. I do believe. I now receive. And if you will do that, I promise you, according to God's word, he will forgive all your sins. He will come into your life. And you can be as certain for heaven as if you were already there. Heaven truly is going to be an amazing place, a beautiful place beyond our imagination. Maybe you've had the opportunity to travel and see a beautiful island in the South Pacific, the Alps of Switzerland, the Grand Canyon, a high mountain range or meadow, or perhaps the Greek Isles. So many beautiful places on earth. Or maybe it's not a place at all. Could be a sunrise or a sunset or a starlit night or the face of your child or grandchild for the first time. There's so many beautiful things that we see here on earth. And God's glory is expressed through mountain ranges and majestic seas, magnificent cities, and of course, the people that we love. But the most beautiful thing on earth pales in significance in comparison to what we will see when we see Jesus and the beauty of the place that he has prepared for us, the place called heaven, the Father's house. Just imagine, he's been preparing heaven for us for the past 2,000 years. It's going to be beautiful beyond description. I wrote heaven, your best life is yet to come, because heaven is our home in Jesus Christ. And if you know Christ, you're going to heaven. You don't get there by your own good deeds or your own good works, but by the grace of God, because he loved you, died on the cross for you, and rose again. And so that's how you go to heaven. And therefore, because you're going there, you can live with a purpose and anticipate a reward when you're with the Lord forever. That's what we talk about, among many other things, in the new book on heaven. So contact us today, and for your generous support of PowerPoint, we'll rush your copy out right away. Remember, heaven is the place prepared and promised for every child of God. It's where you're going to spend eternity, so you need to know where you're going and how to go there and how to help others get there as well. That's one of the reasons, of course, we have PowerPoint Ministry. We want to take as many people with us as possible to heaven. We want to preach the gospel through television and radio and the internet to as many people that we can so that we can invite them to know Christ and to go to heaven. So once again, call, write, go online and get your copy of Heaven, Your Best Life Is Yet to Come, because you'll never think of heaven in the same way again.